Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm glad when he gave me water, he gave me the well of life. A living water. Amen. A artesian well, by the way. Just comes out freely. Isn't that good? Philippians chapter 4. We're going to do not going to do a lot of introduction tonight. And remembering that the theme of Philippians is joy. But not just joy, but joy produced by selflessness. Joy produced by selflessness. We think about chapter 1, we think about Christ, our life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Chapter 2, we have Christ, our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In chapter 3, we have Christ as our goal. Again, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, we have Christ, our strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in chapter 4, you have Paul giving us practical principles that we can live in our everyday life. It's really just an application type chapter, reminding us of a few things, and then these things we should apply. Tonight's a pretty rough sermon. Y'all ready? Yeah, it's going to be rough on all of us. You ready? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Tonight again, we're going to preach on that. Really just the subject of think on these things. That's the title of the message. Think on these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we study this portion of Scripture that you would enable us through your Holy Spirit to think on things that are true and honest and good and just and lovely. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a day where thinking has become a non-issue amongst people. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just like nobody thinks through things anymore. We live where many people don't know how to think, or they think their thinking has become shallow and fleshly. Amen. Really. It's amazing to me how many people I meet who have never thought through any subject, let alone thought through the subject of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I know maybe I'm not hitting the right chord. It's amazing to me that we live in a society today where a lot of people don't think. They just do. Right? What we think on and about is very important concerning who we are. It is a part of our backstage life. Now I want to just encroach upon this subject just a little. The backstage life. Our backstage life is what we think and what we do when we think no one is looking. The backstage life. But what we do in the backstage of our life, in other words, what we think, right, and what we do when no one's looking, will eventually make it to center stage in our life. Again, it's like the tree that you look at that looks really pretty, but you find out that it's rotting from the inside out, and eventually that tree topples. I don't know how many times I've seen a tree topple, and you look at it and say, what happened to the tree? And you start digging inside of you, dig through the outer bark, and you see that it's rotted on the inside. And that's what happens to us as human beings and as Christians if we're not careful, because we've let so many things into our life and into our minds and hearts that shouldn't be there, that we rot from the inside out. That our backstage life is impure, that our backstage life is not honest, that it's not just, that it's not of good report, that it's not pure. And eventually all those things work to the center stage of our life. Comes out and makes itself known. It makes itself known. We need to guard our thoughts. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our minds. We need to think on these things. Think on these things. What Paul says, think on these things. You can't think bad and good thoughts at the same time. You can't do it. I challenge you to do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. And we need to, and I know we've, this particular phrase, positive thinking, has become such a liberal term and a psychological term that I don't like to use it because of the bad connotation it has. You know, that's the other crowd uses that. positive thinking. But I can tell you that we ought to be positive thinkers. As we think in our hearts, so are we. And we'll cover that here in a moment. But I'm not going to use that phrase again. I just want to use it one time right here and tell you that we ought to think, we ought to be optimists. I love that little statement says, you know, anyway, I won't say it. Optimists, optimists, that we ought to think upon good things. Think on these things. Look with me again in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And he goes through and he talks about the various things we should think on. That word think means to take into account or think out. To take care, we ought to take care what comes into our thoughts. We ought to take care what comes into our mind. And we ought to put up a guard as to what we allow to come into our heart, into our minds. We ought to think on these things. Here's three things that contribute to our inner character. One of it is that we ought to think on whatever is true. Whatever's true. Now, we've preached on this morning. Truth, especially concerning God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we ought to think on the Lord. We ought to think correctly about Him. We ought to think upon truth. This would be an area we ought to be careful about is thinking upon. There are those who think that in order to combat those who do not know truth or that teach falsehood, like we talked about this morning. In other words, they believe they need to go study other religions in order to combat what they believe. In other words, we ought to study Mormonism. We ought to study the Jehovah Witnesses and what they believe and whatever else that may be. But can I tell you, if you'll study the real thing, you will be able to dialogue and talk through with somebody who believes falsehood. We ought not to spend so much time thinking on untruths. Make sense? And falsehoods. We need to be careful. I know individuals who got sucked into that. And all they do is learn and learn and gain knowledge about things that are wrong and things that are not true, and it affected them and affected their minds. If you want to learn how to catch a counterfeit $100 bill, you know, look at the real thing long enough and describe the real thing long enough, and that's how you detect a counterfeit. Learn and put truth in your mind. Truth in your mind. And be careful about being sidetracked. It does not mean you can't study other religions. It just should not be the main course. The main course should be truth that comes into your mind. Truth that you're learning. Think on truth. Think on truth. Whatsoever things are true, especially when it concerns God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the characteristics of God, His attributes. And we've studied all these before, but think on truth. Number two, think on honest, things that are honest. This word honest means honorable, vulnerable, and grave. If you remember, and we won't turn over there, but in Timothy it speaks about the deacons and their wives being grave. It means respectable. Respectable. In other words, we ought to think on things that are respectable. I'll never forget, my kids grew up in the SpongeBob era. And I remember, you know, I sat down one Saturday morning and I started watching SpongeBob SquarePants. And I said to myself, why am I allowing my kids to watch this? It was crude. The humor was off color. It was not respectable. And I tell you what, we live in a generation where we have kids who are not respectable. I'm glad our kids are, and I'm thankful for our good kids we have in our church. But for the most part, we have kids who are not respectable. You know why? Because they haven't been thinking upon honest things. They haven't been thinking upon respectable things. They've been exposed to too many of the things that are not honorable. Again, we think about things that are respectable. I'm again amazed on Facebook how many things I see on there that are crude and vulgar. People hanging out all their dirty laundry like it was, the Oprah Winfrey show or something. That's not, the show's not even on TV anymore. Like it was somebody else. Donahue. He's not on anymore either. That guy with the mustache. Yeah, whatever. But everybody wants to hang out their dirty laundry. Everybody wants to tell every intimate detail of what's going on in their life. And it's unbelievable, isn't it? Maybe you don't think that way. I do. Also, just being crude. We live in a society that's crude. When I was a kid growing up, when I was a kid growing up, when you wanted to go to the restroom, you asked to go to the restroom. You didn't say the vulgar thing that's going to happen. You know, I don't get that. I don't understand that. If I would have said, I'm going to go, and I didn't say restroom, I would have been, the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. If I had used the SpongeBob SquarePants answer, I would have received, there would have been received, I would have received action. We live in a crude society. Things that should not be discussed in public are being discussed in public. We try very careful. By the way, I'm thankful. You know, the Bible, it gives us a lot of information about things that happen and, you know, things that are intimate and those things, but it never does so in a coarse way. And we should never do things in a coarse way. Amen? I see, you know, pastors, you know, having series of studies, and they call it 50 Shades of whatever. And I know that's a very vulgar film that came out. Very vulgar film. And they use those terminologies to describe a sermon series they're going to preach. By the way, that's here in the Metroplex, you know. Anyway, maybe I just think on those things which are honest, respectable. We are so exposed to a host of explicit materials and books and things. We need to be so very careful what we allow in our minds. All right, think on those things which are just. We need to move on. Think on things which are just. That means righteous and upright. We ought to be what we ought to be, doing right. Righteousness, it means doing our duty. We ought to dwell on thoughts that are right. And again, I'll use the phrase positive, and not the injustice of our day. I'm going to give you a practical insight to this, because I have a tendency to be this way. We need to be careful that we're filling our heads with Fox News that is so negative, and all the carnality and things going on in our world today, and that we're not exposing ourselves to things that are right and upright. And I'll use the word positive, you know, things that would encourage us and strengthen us instead of things that bring us down. Does that make sense? And we need to be careful. Think on things that are just. It's kind of like when you think about Paul when he was in prison in Philippi. What did he do? What did he begin to complain and sour and whatever? No, he began to sing. He was thinking on things that were just, instead of thinking about the jailer and what the jailer had done to him and what the judge had done to him and all the injustice of things that had happened to him. By the way, a lot of stuff happened to Paul, and yet you find him over and over and over again thinking on things that are just, righteous. Thinking right things, thinking on right things will keep us doing right. We need to think on things that are just, things that are right. So inner character, with things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. And then inner cleanliness. We need to think on things that are pure. That means true and honest. True, honest, and just, and pure. To keep our thoughts unspotted, pure. And boy, we could spend some time on this one. What's the opposite of pure? Impure. We live in a society where we are so exposed to impure thoughts. Pornography is rampant. It is the plague of our society. And there's lots and lots of stuff you can read about it, but can I just tell you, men especially, it affects your mind. You shouldn't allow it to come into your mind. You need to guard against it with your children and with your young people. You need to make sure there's a guard on their phone or they can't get to it. You need to check their Instagram and you need to check their Facebook, and you need to make them accountable to you. There ought to be things they can't get to where they have to have a code to get to them. I've said this publicly many times since me and my wife have been married. There's always been a code on our TV where I can't even watch anything that is relatively rated R or anything like that. There's a code to it. I don't know the code. She does. I guess I trust her. I trust her more than I trust the male. Anyway. Amen? Hey, be careful lest you fall. Amen. Amen. We need to be careful what we allow into our home. You need to make sure and keep an eye. And I know Brother Latta really pushes this with the parents, but you need to make sure you're watching and you're looking at your kids' phones, that you're watching and looking at your kids' computers. Amen? I think it's a great ideal if you have a home office, that the home office, that the monitor faces the door. It's just practical things you can do to make sure that you don't allow yourself to get into that position. And you make yourself accountable. Amen? Think on things which are pure. Again, we see perverseness in our world today. But, you know, I can talk about pornography, but we need to remember TV has so many things that we expose ourselves to and expose our young people to. We need to be careful what we watch, right? Said, no wicked things before thine eyes, the psalmist said. And then from that, I can produce a conviction, which means I shouldn't look at anything that is impure. And therefore, the standard is that I don't watch things that are rated R. And that I'm careful. By the way, there's lots and lots of different websites you can go to look up a movie, to make sure that before you're a teenager or before you go watch one, you can find out what's on it or what's in it. You can find out if there's anything in it that you shouldn't be watching. Man, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? I told you this is going to be a rough one tonight. So, preacher, have you ever, you know, went to the movie and watched a rated R movie? I cannot say that I've never done that. I went and watched The Patriot, which to me was a tremendous movie. It had a lot of violence in it, but it had nothing per se. I wouldn't go to watch a rated R movie in the movie house. I'm just telling you, you need to be careful. Be careful what you watch and what you see. Be careful. Guard your TV. Guard your computers. Guard your cell phone. And listen, men and ladies. By the way, there are ladies who are caught up in pornography as well. If you are caught up in it and you can't seem to find a way out, let somebody know. You know, get some help. And certainly there is help out there. And certainly help here at the church. We'd love to help you. Be careful about what things we expose her to when it comes to literature. I mean, we sometimes guard against the TV and we're so careful about that. And then we allow ourselves to read things we shouldn't be reading. I'm telling you, here we go. Y'all ready? I'm gonna get notes. If you are, ladies, if you're reading, you know, the romance novels, that's woman pornography. If you read romance novels that have immorality in them, that is the equivalent of women pornography. Let me say it one more time. I just want to make my point. If you're reading the Harlequin, there's other brands and all, I don't know what it all is today. But if you are reading those books, then you are reading pornography for women. That is what it is. Man is turned on by sight, woman's turned on by emotion, and that's exactly what the flesh wants. And I'm just preaching truth. Don't shoot me. All right? And so be careful what you allow. By the way, there's some good romance novels that don't have bad stuff in it. And you can get good Christian ones at the Christian bookstore. And you never have to expose yourself to that stuff. So I'm not saying it's wrong to read fiction literature about romance, but if it's got the bad stuff in it, I'm going to say it again. I know it's like the fourth or fifth time. That is pornography for women. And so we need to be careful. Think on these things. Think on things which are pure. Think on things which are honest and just and right. And we need to be so careful. By the way, I'm thankful the blood of Christ can wash away our sins. Amen. And those impure thoughts, by the way, you allow those things into your mind, they come out at the most awkward moments. Right? I mean, you could be sitting in church and all of a sudden have a bad thought. One of those pictures, one of those visuals, one of those stories you read all of a sudden comes to mind. And that's our fleshly appetite. But the Bible says we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that is through the washing of the water by the Word. As we read our Bible, as we think on things that are honest, as we think on things that are true, as we think on things that are just, as we think on things that are pure, as we think on things that are lovely and of good report, when we think on these things, the Bible begins to renew our mind. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Think on thoughts that are true, honest, just, lovely, and of good report. Think on things which are pure. Think on these things. Paul says, think on these things. Next, think on things that are lovely. This means acceptable or pleasing. We need to fill our mind with good things. So, okay, preacher, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't. I mean, it's always about the don'ts, preacher. Don't. Listen, there are tons of good stuff out there. There are tons of good shows you can watch. When I grew up very, very sheltered. My wife sang a song yesterday. Was it this morning? Sang a song. I had no idea it was a rock song. Oh, that was yesterday. Because I said something to her, you know, something very romantic, and she sang a wrong song about it. She thought I knew it, but I didn't grow up listening to rock music. She did. But it was an 80s song, and she grew up in a home where her dad didn't get saved till he was later in life, and when she was being raised. And by the way, her dad's a pastor now. It's an amazing thing. By the way, he got saved. He had hair down, you know, down to the bottom of his back, and he was the quintessential. Anyway, God's transformed her dad's life, but she was exposed to more things than I was, and I'm thankful that I lived in a sheltered environment. I'm thankful that my dad and mom watched what we were careful, what we watched and what we saw. I mean, the reason why some of you who are maybe a little older than myself can ask me questions about Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and Fred Astaire, and you know, I could go on and on and on, because I was basically allowed to watch black and white movies. And that's what we watched growing up. And, you know, Abbott and Costello and on and on and on. And because, again, we think about an old Westerns, and there's good stuff out there you can expose your kids to. By the way, we would expose my kids to Abbott and Costello, and they love them. Michael will say, man, Abbott and Costello is hilarious. And you don't have to expose your kids to the new comedians and the new stuff that has so much vulgarity in it and so forth. Go back and find the old stuff. And by the way, it's easier now than it was when our kids were small, because you can order them online. We have a stack. I bet we have 1,000 VHS tapes of all those old movies. I'm not exaggerating. Close, I'm telling you. Because anyway, we wanted to give our kids the same thing. So what I'm saying is, yes, of course there are things you should not do, but there's so many more things you can do, that you can expose yourself to good things. You can expose yourself to things that are righteous and just and good and pure and lovely. Books, man, there's lots of books out there to be read that not only can be fun to read. I think about the fiction writer that I liked growing up was Louis L'Amour. And I read nearly all of his books. He has over 100 of them. And I read nearly every one of them. Love the Sacketts. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And man, you can read books that are virtuous and good and so forth. So exposing yourself, thinking on things that are lovely, filling your mind with positive, good things, good books, good material, filling your life with good conversation. This goes along with making sure that those you hang out with are not vulgar and crass and crude and so forth, and thinking on things that are lovely. All right, think on things that are of good report. Good report, that means that sound well, that build up. This is more along the lines of conversation. Of good report, that edify. In other words, it's having conversations with people that are not vulgar or crude. It's getting in that position where you're not gossiping or having idle chat. And we need to be careful about being of good report, thinking on things that are of good report. In other words, having things that are profitable for our thought life. Think on these things, not on the opposite of these things. We're not to think on things that are vain and mean and frivolous and dirty and shameful and idle and unjust and impure and ugly. We should not think on things that appeal to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what mankind thinks out there. As Christians, we ought to think on these things. Think on these things. Parents, we influence our young people so much. Think on these things. Require them. Encourage them. Help them think on these things. Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just. Things that are pure. Things that are of lovely. Things that are of good report. Think on these things. I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That we are to bring into captivity every thought. That we ought to guard our minds. We have to be actively guarding our minds and our thoughts. We do so most of the time by not exposing ourselves to these things. Those things that would be opposite of the things that Paul wants you to think about. All right? So, think on these things. Now, why should we think on these things? Well, that's because thoughts mold action. Thoughts produce action. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he, or as a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. Before the architect ever built a building, he thought about it. Before the engineer ever built a road, he thought about it a little. Not sure about engineers who work on highways. I've always said that every engineer who's working on highways should have a guy with common sense sitting beside him. And by the way, I know, and worked with in a carpenter shop with one of the men who engineered a lot of the highways up in Wichita Falls in that area. And I told him the very same thing, but anyway. But they thought about it. Before anything was ever built, they thought about it. Thoughts determine action. Thought and work make character. Every thought contributes to my character. Every thought I've ever had contributes to my character in some form or fashion. It contributes to my backstage life. A person who thinks bad, impure thoughts, and so forth, those thoughts eventually will act. He will act on them. You will act on them. If you're involved in things that are opposite of these thoughts, you will act on them at some point. Because thoughts produce action. A person who thinks on thoughts that are true, honest, etc., will become those thoughts. That person will become pure and honest and just. Lovely. Of good report. Amen. Thoughts produce action. Why should we think on these things? Because what we think is who we become. Never forget it. Oh, but you say, I can get by with it. I can get by with this in my backstage life, and I can do these things. It'll never harm another person. Pastor, if I look at pornography, it's never going. Nobody ever finds out. It will never affect another person. Yes, it will. It affects the way you think about ladies. It affects the way you objectify them. And eventually it'll come out in your actions, no matter what you say. You may never get caught, but it'll come out in your actions. You say, well, you know, I can have this conversation with this individual. I can be around people who talk bad and who talk crudely and cuss and all these things and hang out with my friends who talk that way. And they won't affect me. I'll affect them. You hang around a bunch of skunks, don't expect it to come out smelling like a rose, because eventually you'll smell just like them. Who you hang around is who you become. Because every thought you had, every bad story you've ever heard, every filthy story you've ever heard, every filthy book you've ever read, every filthy picture you've ever seen, it affects you, it affects your character, and eventually it will rot you from the inside out. That's why Paul emphatically, this is a command, by the way, right? Think on these things. Why? Because it will affect our actions. Lastly, how are we to think on these things? Then, preacher, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, we remember that Christ embodies all of these characteristics. Christ is true. Christ is honest. Christ is just. Christ is pure. Christ is lovely. Christ is of a good report. In other words, He embodies all of these virtues. He embodies all of this praise. He embodies it. And therefore, you can think on Him. As we say, as the Bible says, you can walk in His steps. Again, we go back to what would Jesus do? Isn't that amazing? This embodies Christ. This is who He is. If Christ is in my thoughts, all good things are there. If Christ is in my thoughts, then all good things are there. If I will trust in Him, He will help me to think on these things. He can change me. As I think about Him, as I read my Bible, as I read good literature, as I watch good things, as I feed the spiritual man, as I follow in Christ's steps, then the Holy Spirit will empower me to live a Christian life. I know we say that a lot. You really cannot think bad and good thoughts at the same time. So you should fill your life with good thoughts, pure thoughts, honest thoughts, just thoughts, lovely thoughts, things that are of good report. Think on these things. Paul said there in verse 9 that he lived it out. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what does it say? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, as we think on these things, it lives out in our actions, and we do them, and God will be with us. God will be with us. I hate that sometimes I'm not very good at putting icing on the cake. But tonight, understand that we are not hopeless. That we haven't been left without the ability to think on these things. That Christ will enable us. Christ will enable you to think on these things. And we need to ask Him to help us. We need to ask for His strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we're going to learn that here in a few Sundays from now. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you are having issues with impure thoughts and you're having trouble with many of these things, I'd encourage you, read your Bible and pray every day. I'd encourage you to memorize. You know, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. This is an easy one to memorize because it says the same thing. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And so you can memorize. And by the way, memorizing Scripture will wash your brain. Best way I can say it. Will transform your mind. Memorize Scripture. There are many that could be memorized. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let us be careful. Set your affections on things above. That word affections talking about the mind, will, and emotions. We need to set our affections on things above. Think on these things. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 534. We need to be careful about what we think about. Hymn 534, "Cleanse Me." After we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words we find from the Apostle Paul. We thank You that You have instructed us and encouraged us to think on these things. I pray, God, that You would enable us by Your Holy Spirit to keep our thoughts where they should be. And Lord, we thank You that Your Son, Jesus Christ, embodies those thoughts, and help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 534, "Cleanse Me," as we sing.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Think on these things. Think on these
things. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned.
I can make these announcements while you're still standing. A couple of them reminding you that there is a new adult class. If you've been reading that in the bulletin, Brother Zellner will be teaching that starting this Sunday. Please sign up, though, if you're going to be a part of it, so we can kind of redo the roles and have them ready. And certainly would encourage you however the Lord leads you in that area. Men of Valor Breakfast this Saturday. If you haven't signed up to be a part of that, if you'd sign up, and we'll look forward to a good breakfast along with a devotional time on